The 2024 NBA Sixth Man of the Year is not Malik Monk. Congratulations to Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Looking at the voting results here, yeah, Naz Reid was 45, 39, 10. That's first, second, third place votes. 45, 39, 10. Malik was 43, 39, 10. So he basically lost by 10 points because each first place vote is worth five. One vote for Naz Reid that went to Malik, and we would have had co-winners. That's what they do in typically when you have split results. You share the award, whatever the award is. Bobby Portis was 5, 10, 26. Norman Powell got two first place votes.
Yeah, somebody in the L.A. market, I would imagine.
2-7, and he got 34 for third.
How about Russell Westbrook getting two third-place votes?
Bogey got 4, 3, and 11. Jose Alvarado got a second and a third. He just got a second. Westbrook, two third-place votes, as you say. T.J. McConnell. Jonathan Isaac got a third-place vote, as did Jaime Jaquez Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr. And the other Bojan Bogdanovic
got one.
Got a third-place
vote. See, this is just... Something's not right, man. The NBA has to change the way the voting is going, because Bogdanovich is great, but he was a starter most of the year in Detroit, right? Like, that dude started like 40 games or something like that.
Yeah,
47
games. That's only one vote,
but it throws into doubt the validity of the voting process.
Remember, there was somebody, and I think it was Hollinger, and he doesn't have a vote, but he didn't even have Malik in his top three.
Right. Right. Now if there's that's Sacramento voted, slander.
Yeah, we're getting ready to ban him off the show.
Yeah, and by the way, somebody on the chat calls him and O'Connor, calls him Boringer and O'Conman. Big hair bees.
Well, here's the thing, too.
But I was just going to say, ahead. If there's anybody that didn't have Malik in their top three, then that obviously was very wrong and very costly.
Yeah, and those are the people we need to find. If you didn't have Malik in your top three, what the heck's going on? Bogdanovich, between Detroit and New York, he only played in 57 games, mind you. He came off the bench. Get this. The guy played 57 games and came off the bench 30 games. How can you be eligible for sixth man of the year voting and you only played 30 games off the bench?
You didn't have to have 65
games. No, this wasn't one of those 65-game rules. How can you play 30 games off the bench and be eligible for sixth man of the year?
He didn't vote for himself. You know, I don't blame him.
That's somebody in the New York media, probably. And I'm gonna be honest with you. And you know how this is, Whitey. You've covered sports a long time. You covered Barry Bonds in San Francisco. Writers, media people have their favorites. You give them an interview, they remember that. Oh, I remember. If you ignore them, they take it out on you. Hall of Fame voting in baseball. I feel like what winds up happening in the NBA, how is Bogdanovich given a vote? It's because he probably gave somebody an interview or somebody likes him or something like that. There's nobody on this earth that had Bojan Bogdanovic as a six-man candidate.
No.
Except that one vote.
Guy. But if what you say is true, and I know that in many, many cases it is, you'd think that would have helped Malik. Because if you talk to Malik, you
But all
you
our
love
local
him.
Guys took care of him.
Yeah.
But all the local people, I would imagine, voted for Malik Monk.
But like, it wasn't it just Eric Pincus today? So, when he was in L.A., I love Malik.
Yeah, I love Malik.
You can't help but love him.
Yeah, I just, you know, and Bogdan Bogdanovich getting four votes, I guarantee that's probably people in the Atlanta market that sees him night in and night out. So you're kind of biased by what you watch and what you know and what you see.
Eric Pincus shot me a text and said that he had his fingers crossed when he promised you guys, but he wanted to let you know. he did vote for Malik, and he was sorry to not see that.
Oh,
all right.
That's nice. Better than that. Clown Howard Beck.
I know. And we love Howard Beck, and he stood on his business.
He did. I'm kidding. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Paul is going to join us. Hello, Paul. You're on The Drive, guys. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? So we've been talking about this all year long, and, you know, they say it all the time in MMA and boxing. You don't leave it to the cards. You don't leave it to the cards. And we've been doing that all year. 20-point leads blown. 30-point leads blown. What we need to do, and you saw it in that Golden State Warrior game, that we had a grudge. We had a chip on our shoulder. We were not going to let it punk us again after Game 7 of last year. So we need to keep our foot on their throats at all time. And I know Malik, if he would have been playing those last 10 games where he got hurt after Gravy Legs fell on him. I mean, he would have hit a three, went to the sideline and stole somebody's mama's popcorn. Like, he plays with a chip on his shoulders, and everybody needs to, the entire team, the staff, the coach. I mean, we need to inspect what we expect, and we need to look at ourselves and be like, hey, if we want to be recognized on this, with these awards, with these all-star votes, then we need to make sure that we're wiping the floor with everybody we play.
Mm.
That's it.
Thank you, Paul. All right,
Paul,
we need
call.
To, would it matter to Malik, the Kings or the city or somebody needs to make, obviously it's not the official award, he needs to get a Sixth Man of the Year award. We'll call somebody. Right. He needs an award because we all recognize that you should have won it.
Yes, yeah. I'm with you. Maybe the organization or something creates an award.
Yeah.
Like, he should have won it. I mean, the guy is the heart and soul of the team. He brought it every night he was out there. You know, and like I said, Naz Reid, as great of a player as he is, and we all love Naz Reid. Like, he's a good player. But he's the fifth or sixth option on that team, you know? You got Towns, you got Gobert, you got Conley, Ant Edwards. All those guys are more responsible for the success of Minnesota than Naz Reid. When it comes to the Sacramento Kings, you could argue at times Malik Monk is second.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, third, right? Worse than that.
I wonder if voters are aware of that. You know, Naz Reid basically wasn't starting because there were five guys better than him, or three guys.
Yeah.
Malik didn't start because he's better as a sixth man.
Right. He's an actual sixth man. Like,
yeah. So how is he not the sixth man of the year? And is who fell on his leg? He is that guy.
He is that guy. Luka Doncic. Yeah. Yes. Who knew that the season went down that night and Malik's sixth man campaign ended that night too?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, and when it happened, you remember, we didn't think it was.
I remember he got up.
I was like, it's bad, but it didn't look that bad at the time, man. I just feel for the guy. I really do. He was robbed.
That's the way, and today, this is the way this season's gone. You know?
Right.
And
you
got to flush it and move on.
Right.
But everything's like, not quite what we expected. Not quite what we knew it should have been. And this is just the latest example.
Everything was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like the 50-50 balls. Things that could go our way just. Last year, everything seemed to go our way.
Mm-hmm.
The clutch shots, the three-pointers, the health that everybody talks about. This year, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Bottom of the hour, we're going to turn our attention to a little something called the NFL Draft, which we have coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, 9 o'clock.
Jay. He's been sitting on that all afternoon.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll get into that Fox Sabonis Top 10 NBA Duo thing. Also got a list of the former Kings that are still playing in the playoffs this year. There aren't that many. I want to see if maybe there's somebody I'm forgetting. Maybe you can help us with that.
Okay.
As we roll on here, Drive Guys on Sacktown. Well, this is unfortunate. You know, hang in there, Mike Nussbaum, on the YouTube chat says, I was just feeling a little better after the Kings lost. Now this, I'm so tired of the East Coast bias. Malik deserves better. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way today.
No, 100%. He deserves better. And,
uh-huh.
and here's the thing. If I'm correct, Malik was the betting favorite for sixth man of the year. I didn't see it the last couple of weeks, but all season long pretty much. So the voters, the writers, the media went against the betting favorite, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They said, nope, it's not Malik, it's Naz Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was very close. Like, let's be, it wasn't like he was slighted.
Are you saying Otani made a lot of money off this?
Somebody put in some big money and no, but it was close. But man, it's a kick in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Curtis Hicks says Monk is definitely coming back now. I hope you're right, Curtis, but I don't see how this has anything to do with that. I mean, I do hope you're right, but.
And if I'm him, I'm like, I definitely don't want to come back as a sixth man. Like, I'm ready to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He didn't even get recognized for his contributions as a sixth man this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'll do what the team needs me to do 2 years in a row. And what do I get
what
for
do
it?
What do I get for it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Not even a sixth man of the year.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll have something to say about it soon enough. And then I just want to know, should he stay or should he go? You know, we just want to find out as soon as we can. Are we going on with Malik or not? Because that's another thing, potentially.
Yeah.
Another emotional blow that Kings fans would have to deal with.
Yeah, we need some good news.
Yeah.
We need some good. I don't know what that good news would be, but we need something positive and uplifting, if you will.
It used to be around here, Drapes, that this is after the Weber days. The Kings, the roster was like a revolving door. And every year, you know, the Kings, they'd fail to make the playoffs, but you could find pockets of Kings on other teams that were in the playoffs. Now, there's not that many. I could only count five guys, and maybe I'm missing some, and if I am, please tell me. Five former Kings are still in the playoffs. So we got Nemias Keita with Boston.
Celtics, yeah.
Justin Holiday with Denver.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Tyrese and Dante DiVincenzo.
Tyrese, Dante.
And?
No, you're forgetting DeLon Wright.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to say DeLon Wright.
Yeah, DeLon Wright. He's with who? Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, DeLon Wright.
There's six.
I'd have to, you know, scour
right. I don't
the
think
rosters.
I don't think there are
any Lakers, you know,
bigger names. But anyway, that's kind of a low number compared to some numbers we've had in the past. And of course, DiVincenzo is one of the heroes of the week.
Why can't we get guys like that?
We had him.
He could fit in right now.
He wasn't that good when he was here.
And you know what? He's kind of tough. Jay's been talking about that toughness.
Uh-huh.
We could use a guy like that. Like, here's the thing about DiVincenzo that showed me his toughness. That game against Philly the other night, he missed his first shot, got it back, had the cojones to take it again. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We need big moment guys. Guys that aren't afraid of the spotlight.
Well, that was Bogey, right? That Bogey, and then he went to the Hawks, and isn't that how the Kings ended up with DiVincenzo?
No, was it? Well, they signed him to the offer sheet, right?
Yeah,
they tried to get him. And then they traded for him, right? Eventually, they were able to trade.
There's a little hinky there. Yeah, it got a little.
But, and you know what really changed his career? Going to Golden State. Remember, he played the year in Golden State, working with Steph Curry.
Yeah, he really badly injured his ankle, and I think he was still recovering from that when he was here. Then he went to Golden State the year they won the title, right? And he played really well
for
them.
Played really well.
Where they had like a mid-level, and it was clear halfway through the year, oh, he's going to make more money somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, working with Steph, and now look at him, you know, a darling in New York. And so it's I have to look at all the rosters, Whitey, and get back to you.
That's six. All right, thanks for DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright, Dante DiVincenzo, Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield,
Justin
Holiday.
More.
Yeah.
Oh, you found
him with the pool. Nemias Keita.
Oh no, we said that.
Did you? I got him.
Okay. Yeah, that was our first guy.
Yeah.
We did say that.
Boston, that's your old stomping ground.
Oh yeah, those are my people out there. I'm watching them right now, up by two on Miami. Let me see who else. We didn't have
roster.
Alec Burks, right? No, we never had him.
We did.
Did we have Alec Burks?
Yeah.
Did we?
Hold on.
I'm trying to remember.
I think we did.
Look that up, Jay.
From Utah, right? He went from the Cavs to us, I believe, right?
Yeah, we had Alec Burks also.
Yeah.
See, Whitey? Hey, man.
I'm around here.
You know, Sacramento's like 3 degrees of separation. We've had everybody come through here at one point or another. So, Alec Burks.
13 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
We might be able to put together a whole team of former Sacramento Kings.
So that means the Knicks are the team still in the playoffs with the most former Kings. With
two,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, DiVincenzo and Alec Burks, who's not getting any burn right now. I don't think he's getting any run in New York. And remember, he lit us up when he was with Detroit earlier this season. So
yeah, listen to this. Alec Burks with Utah, 9.6 points a game. With the Knicks, 11.2. Detroit, 12.7. Warriors, 16.1 points a game. Cleveland, 11.6. Philly, 11.6. Sacramento, 1.7.
What is that? Wow. What are we doing?
1.7 points per game. It is 13 games.
So guys just come here and
I don't know what happened.
Don't, you know, forget how to play basketball or something like that. Then they go elsewhere and blow up.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Are you...
You got me looking all, at all these rosters
looking at all.
Right,
we're scouring the rosters now, right? You got to give us time here.
Right? Oh, let me see.
It's tricky.
Else.
Those guys, I figured I was missing some of those guys.
Yeah.
A couple guys like that. And there may be still one or two out there somewhere.
Ooh. Yeah. Is this guy still on a roster? Did you say this guy? Tristan Thompson.
That's what Ramsey just said.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that today, and I didn't think he was on a roster. Is he?
According to ESPN, he's on Cleveland's roster, but maybe not. I don't know if he still is or not.
Tristan I'm trying to see Thompson. If he's on the playoff roster.
Yeah, see if he's on the playoff roster.
Because he got in trouble. Remember he got in trouble at the kind of tail end of the season?
Yeah, that's on me because I saw that today, and I was like, nah, he's not on a team.
Yeah, this is a good exercise right here, though.
Yeah. I will go ahead and put him with an asterisk.
Yeah, put him with an asterisk. We'll have to, decide on that, take a vote on whether we're counting him.
What's Buddy's deal in Philadelphia? Because, like, when they were here, I don't think he played much.
No, he doesn't play much right now, really, especially in the playoffs. They've tightened their bench, and he's just not getting many minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what? He made the playoffs for the first time in his career, I believe, this year with Philadelphia. And so... Kudos to Buddy Hield. I know he's a, you know, fans hate him out here. But
yeah, let me just say the NBA end-of-season awards are off to a terrible start. Tyrese Maxey, who was already an excellent player for most improved player, and then Naz Reid for Sixth Man of the Year.
Terrible.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Embarrassment.
You know, MVP. Can they get that wrong, though? I don't think they could get that wrong. It's either going to be Jokic or Shea.
Shea would be wrong.
No, it would not. You're trying to set me off. You knew that was... All right, you're playing me there.
I think they'll get it right. You know, most of the voters seem to be saying, Jokic will get it.
Yeah. I don't... You know I'm an anti-Jokic guy. I mentioned it the other day. For some reason, Denver just rubs me the wrong way. I look at what Shea did this season, is doing this season with the youngest... second youngest team in the league to be the number one seed in the West, I got to give him, you know, all the props in the world. Like, his roster is not as good as Denver's. Like, sure, they have some young talent, but Jamal Murray's is a beast. You were talking about that yesterday.
I mean, they won a championship.
They won a championship. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I just think Jokic, are we just giving it to the best player in the league now? Or is that... what the criteria is right now? Does winning not matter? Does doing more with less not matter? You know, and so I think if I had a vote, it would be Shea this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's carried that team. You take him off that team, they're a lottery team. You take Jokic off Denver, they're still halfway decent. They're not that good, but I just feel like Shea has done more with less, man.
Yeah, I'm a Jokic guy, but I see what you're saying, and it seems like voters are leaning towards him because of what he's already done.
Yeah,
it's like that's great, but that's not supposed to be part of the award this year.
Well, you know the problem with the voting, too, and just all the awards. It feels like midway through the season or whatever, people's minds are already made up. Like, it's somebody's to lose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even our guy Malik Monk, midway through the season, he was getting all the pub. It's his to lose. Well, he got hurt, and of course he lost it. Shea's been consistent all season, but I feel like once Embiid went down, it became Jokic's to lose. And so, yeah.
How about, is Harry Giles on the Lakers roster?
Nah, is he? Nah, I don't think
that's
he
from
is.
Steven. Thank you, Steven. And Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent played in Stockton, but he was
Stockton
never King,
Kings,
right?
Yeah.
He was never actually a Sacramento King.
Yeah.
So I think we pretty much got it once we can figure out whether Tristan Thompson's on,
is
the
on a roster.
Roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just getting through the Eastern Conference, man. I still
we say Isaiah Thomas.
Oh my god.
Oh, how'd you forget IT?
Oh,
the friend of show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, Jay.
That one hurts right there. You That's disrespectful.
You're disrespectful to IT now. I thought you said IT.
Yeah, I sure should have.
That should have been.
I thought I forgot to write it
the
down.
The little guy, Isaiah Thomas.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have come up with almost as many as I did, and I spent like all morning
Did you really? You went down the whole rosters too? Like
no,
you're
I went
doing
through
now?
The list, all-time list of Sacramento Kings players.
Okay.
And all then right. The guys who played recently, I look at them like, oh, that guy, yeah.
That guy
and
played.
Obviously, I missed a couple.
All right. Yeah. I'm still working at it too. I might have some for you after the break here.
All right. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the upcoming NFL draft. Yeah. You think your guy Ayuk is going to get traded?
I think so.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think the Niners are going to botch this and trade him. They're going to make a mistake that we'll be talking about 5 years from now. Yep.
NFL draft analyst Brian Bosarge is going to join us. We'll see what he thinks. Next, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
My boy Dan Campbell and company.
Before we get to our guests, do you have any more former Kings that are in the playoffs? You guys are coming up with pages and pages of names. Here I had five, and I thought, well, I've been looking through it for hours. That's all I came up with. You guys, boom, boom, boom. Alec Burks and Justin Jackson and on and on.
Who did we say? Daquan Jeffries with the Knicks.
Is he on their playoff roster, do we know?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm just going by what ESPN sees, you know?
And I know Ramsey's been helping out.
Ramsey helping out back there, who else did we say? You got the list.
DeLon Wright was
IT.
IT.
Isaiah Thomas was the one that one.
That's
hurt.
Disrespectful. That one hurt. That's so we just had the guy on the show a couple weeks ago.
But you know what's coming up tomorrow?
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about it with everything going on with the Kings. The National Football League draft. With more on that, nice stuff to join us. NFL draft analyst for Draft Countdown and Deep Fried Draft, Brian Bosarge with us. Brian, how are you today?
Guys, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the 49ers go into this draft, and you should know the dynamic here. Jay and I are big 49er fans, and Drapes is from Philadelphia.
Eagles, baby.
But the 49ers looking for, we figure, offensive line help, maybe some receiver help. How do you think this draft sets up for them?
I mean, if they're looking for the offensive line, I think this is a very, very deep group, especially with the offensive tackle position. I've told other people, I think there's 15, 16 starters deep in this class at offensive tackle. I think it's just as deep in the interior offensive line at the guard and center position. So there are players to be had, not only in the first round, the second round, but maybe even into the third round. Mm. I think you can get starting level players on the offensive line in this draft class really deep.
How much activity movement do you expect in the top 10, you think? Teams trading out, moving up. Do you view it as an active day tomorrow in terms of trading?
I think at minimum we're going to see at least two trades involving top 10 picks, maybe more. I think the first three, maybe even the first four, are kind of going to be steady hand there. But after that, I think it's when the chaos might start ensuing a little bit.
Brian Bosarge with us from NFL Draft Countdown. He's NFL Draft Analyst for Draft Countdown, pardon me. Brian, how about the Ayuk situation? We understand from reporting out of the Bay Area that Ayuk, he could go somewhere in the first round if somebody offers the 49ers something that they like. We know Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his big deal today. That could impact what Ayuk is looking for from the Niners. What's your best guess of where that ends up tomorrow and if the 49ers end up looking for receiver help early in the draft?
My initial thought is he doesn't get moved tomorrow. Just an initial thought, because I don't think they're going to get the value like on the clock as they would, you know, maybe afterwards. There's a more likely chance he gets moved than, say, Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins gets moved, just because the 49ers won't be near as steadfast and to their morals there that the Bengals front office is, you know, for the right price. Both are, you know, wanting the big money, and they're both, you know, look at that St. Brown contract and like, yep, that should be us. And it doesn't appear like they're going to get it. So at least not with their current employers. So I think it's in the case with Higgins, he's going to play this year on the franchise tag. Ayuk, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't expect him to get moved tomorrow night.
Do you think it's a matter of, in the Niners' case, them not viewing Ayuk as a number one wide receiver, or them thinking spending that much money on a receiver is not prudent?
Maybe it's a little bit of both in the fact that they already spent that big dollar on Debo, right? So it's like they don't want to tie up all that money in that same position. there's going to be receivers in that spot that they're picking in the first round if they think they can move, or if they do move Ayuk, you know, that's maybe that's where they attack at pick 31, because they're more likely, I don't think they're going to get a first round pick back for him in a trade. Mm-hmm. I think it might be a pick this year, or maybe like a pick next year, that could have like a condition tied to it, to him getting an extension or something along those lines. So, but that could change how their approach to the first round if they are able to move him.
Brian Bosarge is our guest from Draft Countdown. And Brian, obviously it takes us a while before we know whether a team has had a successful draft or not. I know everyone likes to grade them the next day, but we don't know for a while. That said, which team or teams do you think are under the most pressure to have a good draft this year?
I mean, it starts right at the top, right? Chicago's got two picks in the top 10. They're going to pick Caleb Williams at number one. They need to add another solid piece either at 9, or they only have 4 total picks in this draft. Maybe see what they can get for the 9th pick moving down. But they've got to add more pieces. They've done a good job this offseason bringing in Keenan Allen as well. They've got Cole Kmet. Their offensive line's solid. They had the best run defense in the league last year, but they maybe need another pass rusher too. So Chicago, ton of pressure on those guys. The Vikings have kind of made their bed as well. Like, they traded for the extra first-round pick with Houston to the point that they almost – are obligated to come up and get a quarterback now, which one we don't know, but they're kind of, I don't want to say painting themselves in a corner with that, but that's kind of the expectation.
Hey, Brian, I'm a huge Michael Penix Jr. fan. Saw him obviously at Washington, watched a lot of him up there in the Pac-12. Has he fallen a little bit? What's the grade on him? What's the thought on Michael Penix Jr.?
I've got a high second round grade on him. The reason that he appears to be falling, and I guess the reason that his grade would be lower, is he's an older prospect and he's had multiple leg injuries. That's going to bring grades down on teams. There may be some teams don't even have him on the board because of medicals, right? So that kind of, you know, eliminates a few spots for him. You start hearing some late chatter about teams like the Raiders and others that may draft him in the first round. I guess, you know, it only takes one team. I think him and as well as Bo Nix both end up falling in that early part of round 2.
Brian Bosarge, our guest. Brian, we know the Rams have not made a first-round selection since 2016 when they took Jared Goff, my partner's favorite quarterback. And obviously they traded picks for good players. But, you know, they've been successful. They are set up to finally have a first-round pick tomorrow, pick number 19. Given the success they've had without picking in a while, does that prove that first-round picks can be, in some cases, overrated?
No, because if you look at the general success plan, most of your Pro Bowlers or All Pros are high draft picks, right? The majority of them are first-round picks. So I don't think first-round picks are overrated. But if you have a great scouting department, which the Rams quite obviously do, and Les Snead's a very good general manager, you can, you know, you maximize the draft picks that you do have in day 2. And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of want to see the streak continue. I want to see them trade out of the first round just to keep this up, man. I mean, but if they do stay put, they've got to add some sort of pass rush, I believe, because, you know, you've got to try to start replacing some of those sacks that you're losing with Aaron Donald. You can't replace Aaron Donald, obviously, but you got to try to start replacing some of that production.
How deep is this draft in terms of secondary, you know, cornerback, safeties? I feel like the Niners could use an infusion of youth back there. How deep would you say this draft is regarding that?
Corner is a lot deeper than safety is. This safety class isn't ideal. I've only got, I think, 4 in my top 100 overall rankings, which that's rounds 1 through 3. And I think so. It wouldn't be surprised to me if only like 3 or 4 maybe even got drafted in the first 3 rounds. I'm not a big fan of the safety class. A lot of unathletic guys back there. Corner, a little bit different. I think we're going to see maybe 12 to 14 cornerbacks go in the first 3 rounds. In my final mock draft that I'll be posting tomorrow morning over at draftcountdown.com, I will have the 49ers going with corner at that pick.
And, Brian, before we let you go, what do you think, Eagle fan over here, should he be expecting and looking for in the draft tomorrow from the Philadelphia Eagles?
Don't be surprised if they trade up.
Really?
I don't think they're going to sit Pat at 22. I think they maybe have a corner in mind that they try to trade up and go get that's not going to be there at 22. So they know they're going to have to attack.
Well, we know that's an area of need for them. I was just thinking they need a cornerback. So I'm all for if they trade up and get their guy, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Brian, thank you so much for your time. We know you're very busy right now. Appreciate it. Enjoy the draft. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, Brian Bosarge, NFL Draft Analyst for Draft Countdown and Deep Fried Draft. When we come back, another lesson in just how humbling the draft can be. Drive, guys. The Beam Team news today was not the greatest, as you've probably heard by now. The NBA announced that the 2024 Sixth Man of the Year is Naz Reid. We don't know why. Yeah. The voting was about as close as it could possibly be. Basically, it came down to the first place votes, 45 for Reid, 43 for Monk, and second and third, they were the same, 39 and 10, I think.
And what's interesting about that, Whitey, Naz Reid has two more total votes out of the top three. So Malik Monk, two people voted at least Malik Monk out of the top three.
Yeah.
So two people didn't have them.
Yeah.
You know, because they're equal in third place votes, equal in second, but Naz has two more first place votes.
Right.
So where are those votes for Malik?
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the top three.
Yeah.
So somebody didn't even have Malik in the top three.
Yeah. For a guy that came this close to winning.
Right.
To not be in somebody's top three, you're doing it wrong.
Right. And really, this was a two-man race. Like, because
Norman Powell was
Naz Reid, 352 total points.
Yeah.
Malik Monk, 342 total points. Then you got to go down to Bobby Portis at 81 total points. So really, this was a two-person race, but some people felt like, you know what? We're not going to have Malik Monk on our top three. Mm-hmm. Those are people who don't watch the games, man. They're not I don't know how you fix this, though. If you're the NBA, like, who should vote? Is it the media? Is it the coaches? Well, we've seen the coaches get the All-Star situation wrong. I don't know how you fix it.
You know, the NBA would look at this and go, there's no problem.
Right.
What problem? We don't have to fix anything.
Dude, Bogdanovich of New York got a third place vote, and he came off the bench 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
30 freaking games. And he's eligible for sixth man of the year? It doesn't make sense.
I know that if the league does feel that someone is not taking it seriously, they will strip them of their vote.
Right.
Because that actually happened to a writer here in Sacramento many years ago.
Did it really?
And the writer, he made it pretty clear he was not taking it seriously. And they took his vote.
Oh, they yanked it.
Yeah.
I wish I had a vote. Man, I wish I had a vote.
Do they not give them to employees
of
teams?
Not team broadcast. Yeah, not, you know. Yeah.
Boy, Malik would have won if you had a vote.
I would have stuffed the ballot box somehow, rigged the election for sure, man.
Monday, we didn't talk much about this because we were talking about the aftermath of the Kings season. But did you see that the Jets traded Zach Wilson to the Broncos? So Zach Wilson, remember the Jets drafted him and they thought, number two pick in 2021, we've got our quarterback of the future. And now he gets traded. What that means now is that of the five quarterbacks selected in the first round in 2021, Trevor Lawrence is the only one who's still with the team that drafted him. Wilson, Trey Lance, number three, Justin Fields, number 11, and Mac Jones, number 15. They've all been traded already. Isn't that incredible?
What a horrible first round, right?
And this was like, well, any one of these guys could be a franchise quarterback.
Wow. Already. It's not even 10 years down, 6 years. You're talking 3 years later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All those guys have been moved except one.
Yeah. And none of those four... You know, it's not like, oh, well, they're starters where they are. No, they're hanging on for dear life.
Right, right. That's interesting. But we do this year in and year out. First round, got to take a quarterback, three or four guys at the top. And you know, I wish we had a little bit more time with Brian because I would have asked him about J.J. McCarthy. Where does he see him?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about a guy that – he had the Jimmy Garoppolo syndrome with Michigan in the second half when they ran every single play. Like, as a quarterback, that shows me you don't have faith in your QB. But, you know, he's a top 10 pick, they're saying now.
Given when these guys were picked, 2021, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic. I have to think a lot of it had to do with, A, the players didn't get the reps they would have gotten at a crucial time for their development, some of them. And then B, because they didn't play as much, I'm thinking mostly of like Trey Lance, teams didn't really know what they were getting.
Right.
So there was more guesswork.
Not enough tape on them and everything.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you go back to the COVID years and all that and how that impacted the draft and the tape and the guys actually, you know, seeing them out on the field. And so, yeah, you would think though, you know how it is in the NFL, man. They poke and prod. They look into everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw a graphic on the success rate or hit rate from each position in the first round. And I think wide receiver was like way, way down. Like, how do you get it wrong so many times mm-hmm. in the NFL?
Yeah.
Then you look at a guy like Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
Got that wrong
everybody
too.
Got it wrong. And how'd they miss on that, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's an inexact science.
Yeah, it's a great question. And that obviously is how the 49ers were able to overcome botching the number three pick.
Right.
Because Brock Purdy fell out of the sky in their laps. Like,
can you imagine?
We're good.
If they didn't have Brock, where would they be at right now? Like, where?
Jimmy Garoppolo,
who's still out of the league? Or did he get traded?
He's a Rams backup
traded Rams, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the 49ers will see him again. Yeah, but just think, in the 49ers, it seemed like they knew pretty early on with Trey Lance, you know, and I think this
cut
year.
Cut bait, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
One preseason
admit your
game
mistake.
And, yeah.
Right. Admit your mistake and move on. And so it's interesting, though, Brian saying he thinks they'll go with a cornerback in the first. I think that's what they need. Like that. Updating the secondary, mm-hmm. upgrading the secondary.
I don't know who, but I would always bet it's a safe bet with Shanahan and Lynch doing the draft. Who are they going to take with their first pick? Defensive lineman.
Right.
They've done that.
Man, yeah. They just got a rotating like that. I feel like every other week they're getting a new defensive lineman.
You think they'd have just a stockpile, but they don't. As far as this draft, this was how Field Yates sees it. He says quarterbacks move the needle more than any other position. There could be five or six taken in round one. Wide receiver and offensive tackle also have great depth this year. However, the overall depth of this class does not stack up to recent drafts.
Mm.
So it's one of those, there are some good players at some key positions available early, but overall, it's not an especially deep draft. But again, look how wrong people are when they draft these guys. Nobody knows.
And there will be stars that come out of this draft. I actually think it's a strong wide receiver draft. I'm a big Rome Odunze guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I love Rome Odunze. He was amazing for Washington. And so, you know, we've talked about Ayuk and if they trade him. Could they trade and get a first-round pick? Brian said probably not, but could a Rome Odunze or somebody like that be an option? I love Rome. But
you know, it's starting to look like Jay was right all along on Ayuk. Remember?
About them trading him?
He was like, I don't want to give him that much money.
Well, they're going to, you know, rue the day. It'll be like James Harden going to, you know, Houston, right? Like, you don't give up Brandon Ayuk. And first of all, he's a number one receiver. He's still young. He's just now about to enter his prime. To draft a young kid that in 3 to 5 years you're going to have to pay anyway again? Like, what are
they're facing a financial crunch, though. It's the DeForest Buckner thing all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying that ended well for him, but it's the same type of situation.
Like, but here's the thing, and we saw this with this Niners offense, as great as it was. When they were missing something, whether it was Debo, when they were missing a piece.
Or McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, it did not function as well. Ayuk is a big part of what they do. And if you want to replace him with a rookie, I don't know. I don't think that's prudent.
Mm-hmm. It's not ideal, but what are you going to do? I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk, though. But you know he's got to be happy when he saw what Amon-Ra St. Brown got today.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That reset the market, right?
Yeah.
Reset the bar. I do want to read to you really quickly what my boy Bert Breer of SI.com wrote about the 49ers and their needs. He said they could use, another offensive tackle. This is another one that they'll be dictated by who happens to fall in the round. If the tackle supply has dried up, then one of the second-tier corners or a receiver to have in place to eventually take Brandon Ayuk's spot would make sense.
Mm. They apparently told Debo, you will not be traded.
Yeah, yeah. But which is fine.
But Ayuk?
Ayuk? No such promises. Crickets.
All right, when we come back, Monty and Mike on what went right, what went wrong this year.
Yeah.
For your Kings, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.